Welcome to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is Sunday, July 19th for us. Not sure what the date is for you, but I hope you're going to enjoy our show. We are starting out here with just two of us. It's myself and another guy that I'm going to introduce real briefly. Or I'm going to let him introduce himself, actually, real briefly. So go ahead, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody out there.
All right, what's going on, T-Ray? It's Mike. I'm down here in Hiroshima, Japan.
Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. This is episode number 39, and guess what? This is the show's one-year anniversary. Happy anniversary, H10. Woohoo! My name's T-Ray. Yes, and Joe chiming in with the happy anniversary call. Good to have you here, Joe.
Good to be here.
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that literally has fan clubs all around the world. This includes parts of America, this includes South America, this includes Europe, it includes the Middle East, including a city named Dubai. And speaking of Dubai, today's special guest on the show is from the city of Dubai. Pardon me, he's not from the city. He lives there now. Welcome to the show, Zorny.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, it's good to have you back on the show, Zorn. It's been a while.
Good to be back. Good to be part of the H10 podcast. And let's do this.
How are things going there in Dubai for you, buddy?
Everything's all right. Everything's going doing fine. Just started playing for a baseball team here.
Oh, nice.
And that's, yeah. And it's good to play. And I really missed. And now, finally, I found a team. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
That's very cool. Very cool. Oh, by the way, everybody, my name is T-Ray, and I am the regular host of the H10 podcast. Today is July the 14th. We're recording a little bit early, and this is episode 70. It's a nice round number. This is also the two-year anniversary of the H10 podcast. So happy birthday, H10. Welcome to the show, everybody. Now, Zorny, you know, you have been kind of along for the ride with H10 as a website now for the entirety of the website, really. And, you know, you've been following on the podcast and all that kind of stuff. So it's good to be able to talk with you on this, our birthday.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can remember, we started talking in 2014. You started the website. I was always trying to look for some information about the Hanshin Tigers. And then I found you, we start talking, and I start doing the infographics for the Nippon series.
That's exactly
if
right.
I'm not. Yeah, yeah. And since then, we're doing a lot of things, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's been really cool. You know, I didn't even know who my audience was at the time or anything, and I didn't know you, obviously, but you came to me and said, hey, I made this infographic. Do you mind using it on your website? And I was like, what do you mean, do I mind? Of course, this is awesome, man. Thank you so much. You know, do you mind if I use it? And so, you know, that's kind of how we hit it off. And then, you know, you came to Japan. We got to take in a game together, all that kind of stuff. And so it's been really good. And I hope we'll be able to do that again sometime soon. Well, hey, we're going to take a short break. We will come right back with more with me and Zorny.
I trust in you, I follow you. When you
sad, and when you're down, your wick is burning, but about to burn out in that moment of life or death. Sour could be gone in just one breath. Save from the death his joy consumes. Give it unto God, he'll follow through. I trust in you, I follow you.
Well, I forgot to, do my standard introduction with y'all. You know, since this is episode number 70, I should be talking about number 70 on the Hanshin Tigers. But guess what? Most of the players only wear up to number 69, and then there's a few players that wear numbers up in the 90s. But from 70 through 89, generally, those are coach numbers. And number 70 for us is Coach Takashiro, who joined the team in 2014 as a coach. Before that, he was with the Hiroshima Carp, and he was a coach with the Carp when Kanemoto was a player with the Carp. So he has great rapport with him. It's always fun to see him doing his windmill at third base, sending guys home on those, you know, charges to get the extra runs and stuff like that. And my best memory of Takashiro happened just earlier this year, when Yamato slid into third base on a force play. He was safe. The umpire called him out, and Takashiro jumped up in frustration, and it just looked like he was trying to do like a lunging something or other at the umpire. I don't know if you saw that, Zorny, but it was a pretty funny moment.
Yeah, absolutely. There's this thing with Yamato on third.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about later on the show, but yeah, it's a really funny thing, you know, because he went nuts. He was almost crying, you know, and in disbelief.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't out, actually. Yamato just got to third. If I'm not mistaken, I think Hojo was bunting.
Yep.
And then he bunted to the pitcher. The pitcher went for third. And it was crazy. It was a force out. It was crazy. Takashiro started jumping, and he was just like a kid, you know.
Yes.
It was, his face was priceless.
He looked like a toddler for sure, like a little kid playing t-ball that couldn't believe something. Anyways, let's continue on. So now we go into the other standard that I usually use in the intro, and that is the year, which matches the episode number. So 1970 is the year we're going to talk about here, and there's a couple of things that I want to mention, because this was an interesting year in team history. First of all, Minoru Murayama, who was the ace pitcher along with Yutaka Enatsu, Murayama took on managerial / pitching duties in this season, and it didn't go particularly well for them. But before we talk about one particular episode related to that, there's one more key thing that happened in this season, and that was that our all-star catcher Koichi Tabuchi took a pitch to the head, kind of reminiscent of what happened to Toritani. Except it was even worse. He was hospitalized. His life was on the line. He was in a coma for like 3 weeks or something like that. Anyways, his life was in danger. And the doctor said, look, we can do something for him that is going to save his life, but he won't be able to play baseball ever again. Or we can do a risky procedure, which may end up costing him his life, but it also may allow him to play ball again. And his dad said, Koichi lives for baseball. We're going to choose the latter option. And so that's what they did. The surgery actually went well, and Tabuchi ended up making it back this very same season. They're pretty interesting stuff. The other episode I want to talk about is late in the season, really with the pennant on the line. It's Hanshin against the Giants. And they're battling it out for the pennant. They're also battling it out in this game. And Enatsu is on the mound, and he's getting himself into a bit of trouble. Now, here's the situation. Murayama is in the dugout as manager, and he's got to make certain decisions, right? So when Enatsu was getting in trouble on the mound, Murayama was like, oh boy, we may need a reliever to come into this game. And the only reliever that would be acceptable in such a tight game is me. So he took off for the bullpen so he could warm up and get himself ready to get into the game. Meanwhile, while he's warming up, Enatsu's still playing, right? And he gets into a little bit of trouble on the mound. Murayama cannot make the decision to pull him or not pull him. He's left that in the coach's hands, and the coaches didn't pull the trigger. Well, Enatsu got rattled when he was facing Sadaharu Oh. He was pitching low and outside, and he thought he was hitting the spots. The umpires kept calling the balls. He walked Oh, and that was with the bases loaded. That brought it to within one, so the Tigers still had the lead. Now is the time to bring in a reliever, possibly, because Enatsu is just mentally out of the game. He's lost it, right? But Murayama is in the bullpen. So he can't make that call. Well, they don't make the call. Enatsu ends up giving up a hit to Nagashima, costs the team the game, and in the end, they lose out on the pennant by 2 games. And so, you know, when one team wins and the other loses, that's a 2-game swing. So this was it. This game cost them the pennant. And the fact that Murayama was manager and player kind of cost them in this situation. So pretty interesting stuff. This ended up being the 6th straight pennant for these Yomiuri Giants, unfortunately. 6 out of 9 in a row. Anyways, that's our little history lesson for the day. Let's jump in and do some recapping. So Zorni, I heard we talked a little bit before we hit record that you were able to watch parts or all of these games. So I'm glad to hear that. And of course, Hanshin appreciates you being a fan of the team as well. So Tuesday, who did we have on the mound, buddy?
We got our boy Messenger.
That's right.
Messenger Money.
Messenger, yep. The money man. And he's going up against Jordan Norberto, also just known as Jordan here. Now, Jordan has had our number, as I mentioned in the previous show, in 4 outings. He was 2-0 with a 1.8 ERA. But things would be different on this day, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you see the trend that this team was going, we can say that it wasn't going that well.
No.
And then we finally came up with a victory. The bets went like it totally exploded, and that was something that we weren't able to see that much in this final stretch.
You know? For sure.
And that was really good. You know, that's a sign of relief because, come on, where were these bets? You know, especially against Jordan. Jordan always gives us a bad time, you know, and gladly we were able to hit a lot of runs as we used to do, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing, Zorni, is that, you know, during the slump, even the games we won, it seemed like we were beating these, you know, kind of second-rate pitchers and stuff. But as you said, Jordan's a guy that's had good success against us. He seemed to know how to pitch our guys. But in this one, let's go through the scoring. So real quick, Randy struggled early on and gave up a run in the first inning. With runners on first and third, Guerrero hit one to right field for a 1-0 lead. But Messenger ended up hanging on, keeping it to just one. In the bottom of the second inning, Jordan actually had 2 balks in the inning. Nakatani reached on an error. He went to second on a balk. He went to third on a grounder, and he went home on a balk. So we didn't even get a hit in that second inning, but we tied up the game. Then in the bottom of the third, Uemoto came in with a home run to give us a 2-1 lead. And a couple batters later, Fukudome, do you guys remember this guy? He used to hit home runs. Well, he finally hit one again. So it's 4-1 for us after 3 innings. And that's the end of Jordan's day right there. 3 innings pitched, 4 runs against, 3 of them earned. Apparently, he was sent home mid-game by the Dragons manager. So, and keep in mind, this game was not at Koshien. This game was on the road in Kurashiki in Okamoto Prefecture. So I don't know, it must have been pretty lonely getting on that train in Kurashiki and heading home. But the game goes on. We are now facing Shota Suzuki, against whom we had great success the first time and no success the second. But in the fourth inning, Uemoto comes in again and does some good damage, again with a nice hit to right field that brought in a run. So it's 5-1. And then the explosion that Zorni was talking about earlier, Oyama with a double with runners on second and third, went off the wall. Umeno followed that with a double 1 out later. That one also ended up scoring Oyama. Pardon me, that was a single, but he advanced to second on the throw. And Guerrero, of course, blew it in the outfield. Guerrero looks awful in left field, man. And I've heard that he's naturally a third baseman, but he sucks there too. Then Messenger followed Umeno's RBI with a double of his own. He hit that to the left center gap. So it's 9-1 now. And Uemoto finishes things off with a double of his own. This is with 2 outs and Messenger on third base. And you know what? I thought there really was meaning to that run. I mean, I just thought about the fact that, you know, the pitcher got a double which is pretty rare. He got his first RBI of the season. So, you know, let's reward him by giving him his first run. I think it was his first run of the year. Anyways, it was a chance for him to score, to cross home plate. So that was kind of nice as well. So that's it. 10-1 final. We killed it, like you said. Any other comments on this one, Zorni?
Wemoto nailed it.
Yes.
Yeah. He had like, I think, four RBIs. Let me check here. But I think that's it. You know, and it was a huge, three RBIs, sorry.
Yeah.
But he was 4-for-4, three RBIs.
Yeah, he got his average over 300.
Yes. Right now, not 300, but almost. But it was a really good, really good game for Uemoto. He nailed it, and that's good. It's good to see this kind of a. He really did well. You know?
Yeah, it's good to see like a kind of quote unquote secondary player. You know, Uemoto of course is very important to the team, but he's not the guy that they always count on for run production. So it's good to see him coming through, like you said. And, true. You know, his home run that he hit, it was in a full count, but it was the 11th pitch of the at-bat. So it was like a vintage Uemoto, you know, hanging there, foul off a ton of junk pitches, and then just crush one when it comes. So that was also just like really thrilling.
True.
Yeah. And Fukudome's home run was his first in 130 plate appearances. So,
Oh my God.
That's a pretty long stretch for a guy that is, batting fourth in your lineup that you're expecting big production out of.
Yeah, true. And you always expect him to perform better. You know, he's, as you said, he's a fourth hitter in the order. You always expect him to hit long balls, which is not the case right now. And he's struggling so much. I don't know what happened. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, it's always ground balls, double plays. You know, it's crazy. You know, he's killing the rally every single time. You know, it's really frustrating so far. And he's the captain. What are we gonna do?
It seems like this team has bad luck with naming captains. You know, I mean, obviously Torrey was captain for what, four seasons there, so. Two of them were not so good, but even pitching captains, you know, like in 2016, the pitching captain was Fukuhara, and he ended up retiring at season's end.
True.
You know, this year they decided not to have a pitching captain, and maybe it's for the better. You know, if they had named Ando the pitching captain, well, guess who's been on the farm all year, right?
maybe we should stop doing this. You know, maybe we're jinxing the guys. You know.
Yeah, so why not make somebody like Shunsuke the captain or something like that? Because
let's sucks, do right? this. Yeah, maybe go opposite, you know? Maybe he can start hitting.
Yeah, you never know. It may just have the opposite effect on the player. So if the player sucks and we give him the C, he does awesome. And if he's awesome and we give him the C, he sucks. Who knows?
True. We're giving them the motivation that they need, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, so a couple other notes in this one. Naomasa Yokawa had his first at-bat of the season. He ended up striking out, but I guess there's no pretty way to paint it. A strikeout's a strikeout. Closing the game was a recent call-up from the farm, and that would be Kazuo Ito. He pitched a scoreless ninth inning for us. He gave up one hit, but 12 pitches to get out of the inning. So it was a great game. And to me, this was kind of the proof that, maybe this team has turned the corner. Because, you know, up until now, we were 4-3 on the month of July, which is, you know, it's not too bad. But this game just showed that we can hit those pitchers that supposedly have our number. All right, let's talk about the next game. And that would be the last game before the All-Star break. This was Wednesday night, and this was Takumi Akiyama, All-Star, against Raul Valdez, All-Star. So, you think we have a pitcher's duel on our hands? No. In the first inning, top of the first is with two outs and facing Alex Guerrero, Takumi Akiyama. You know what? I can remember this, man. I was sitting in my bedroom watching this game, and I saw Akiyama shake off Sakamoto. whatever the call was, he shook his head and he said, no, I don't want to throw that. And I remember thinking to myself, I haven't seen Akiyama shake off the catcher before. This may end up burning him. And it did.
Yeah.
Guerrero hit one over the left field wall, so it's 2-0 after one inning. It's not looking good. But Yamato with a double in the bottom of the second to bring home one run, so now it's 2-1. And we actually hit off of Valdez, which is nice. However, even though Akiyama cruised through the next four innings, in the sixth inning, he ended up throwing another bad pitch. This one was to Yohei Oshima, and it hit the right field foul pole. Two-run home run. So now it's 4-1 for Chunichi, and it's looking like, oh no, are we going to go into the All-Star break on a losing note? Because our guys really weren't hitting super well in this one. It's not like we had a ton of chances. But then the bottom of the sixth happened. Nakatani, with runners on first and third, got our first run of the comeback, and he just hit one. It was a low and outside pitch. It was actually a ball, but he ended up muscling it over shortstop. So 4-2, and then Yamato, with the bases loaded, comes in, and he hits an RBI single to right to the opposite field. That got us two more runs, so now it's 4-4. So it's looking pretty good. And then in the bottom of the eighth, with runners on first and second, Yamato comes up to the dish again. This time he's facing Matayoshi, a right-handed pitcher. So Yamato goes to the left side of the plate. And dude, Zorni, I kid you not, every time I say Shunsuke is going to suck, if I say it out loud or if I think it from the bottom of my heart, he does something well. And the same thing with Yamato batting from the left side, man. When I say, what's he doing, man? Why doesn't he just hit from the right side? He's got no power. He never hits the ball when it matters. He's not clutch from the left side. Boom. He hits one over third base. A run scores from second base. It's the go-ahead run. Yamato tries for second base on this and gets called out on the play. But we got the 5-4 lead. So we did complete the comeback. And Dolis came in with a 1-2-3 ninth inning. Three grounders to get us out of the game, get us out of the series, and we win this one 5-4, 2-0, and the season series now sits at 7-7. So the win goes to Mateo. Mateo with his sixth win on the year. That is good for third place on the team. You know who's ahead of Mateo?
I have no idea. Kuwahara?
No, in wins. Kuwahara is not even close.
Oh, Messenger?
Yes.
Yep. And? 8 wins, right?
Yeah, he's got 8.
And Akiyama got 7.
That's right. Wow. Either you're cheating or you're just really good. Anyways, yeah, those are the two guys.
No, I'm not cheating. I just did my research.
No, I believe you. I know you're a big guy.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Cool. Hanshin enters the break. 43 wins and 36 losses. That's good for second place. We are 8 games behind the Hiroshima Carp, and we're just 1.5, or is it 2.5 now, ahead of the Yokohama Bay Stars. I think it's 2.5, right?
Let me check here. I think it's 2.5 because they lost, right?
Last they game? Lost to the Carp, yeah. Yeah, so it is 2.5.
Yeah, I think so.
So there you go.
True.
But this is what I always say, you know, let's not get too high on ourselves as far as this goes, because unfortunately, Hanshin is closer to fifth place than they are to first. That's how tight things are getting behind us in the standings. So we're 2.5 ahead of DeNA, we're 6.5 ahead of the Giants, and we're 7 ahead of Chunichi. And just for the record, you know, back in episode 54 of the podcast, we did a special Central League predictions show. And I predicted Hiroshima, Hanshin, DeNA, Yomiuri, Chunichi, Yakult, and that's the exact order that we're sitting in right now. I'm the only one who picked Yakult for sixth place, and they are a distant sixth right now. So that pick of mine is looking pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you remember Yakult's your orders, Zorni, what right you picked?
Now. Man, I don't remember. Really don't. I think in my order, I think Hanshin was the third one. So it was like Hiroshima, Yomiuri second, and then us. But the rest of the order, I don't recall.
I'm looking up for you right now. I've got Hiroshima, Kyojin, Hanshin, Bay Stars, Swallows, Dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that me and Michael Westbay were the only two that picked the Swallows in last. And then there were only a few that picked the Carp out of first. That would be Aaron, Arnaud, Mr. Picture Man, also known as Wizzo, and Michael Westbay, who went with the hometown Yokohama Bay Stars. So anyways, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, once the season ends and the dust settles, we'll see who is right and who is wrong and so on and so forth. But good times, I tell you. All right. Well, let us move forward in this show. We are not going to bother with a player of the week because there were only two games, and that's not really enough to have a player of the week. So I do want to talk just very briefly about the Fresh All-Star Game, which is kind of like the Futures game in MLB. So it's a lot of the minor league guys or the guys that have just been drafted, guys that have maybe had very limited time on the top squad. So Hanshin had, I think it was four players in this one. We had our first round draft pick, Yusuke Oyama, who of course has been playing on the top team. Our second round pick, Taiki Ono, who also has had time on the top squad. But these teams were named probably around June. So at that point, neither of them were solid on the first roster. And then we also had Shungo Fukunaga, and you'll remember him from, a game we'll talk about a little bit later. And also our seventh round pick, Kenya Nagasaka, catcher, he also played in the game. So the score ended up being 0-0. There were no runs scored. Ono pitched a shutout inning in the first, and Fukunaga pitched one, I think it was around the sixth inning. Both of them pitched clean innings with a strikeout, so pretty good stuff. But the big games, remember this is NPB, All-Star Games, are going to be tonight, July the 14th, and tomorrow night, July the 15th. The first one's in Nagoya, the second one is in Chiba. Planning to watch those, Zorni?
Yes, sir. I really want to. I just watched the All-Star game, the MLB, yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm really pumped up, you know, to watch the NPB All-Star game. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. So let's just do a quick reminder to everybody of who's going to be in the game. Although, unfortunately, by the time this episode comes out, the games will already have been played. But on the pitching end, who have we got?
So we got Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good surprise, which is Akiyama.
Yeah, selected. Akiyama was named in by the manager, right?
Yes, and yep. That was a surprise. I was expecting like Messenger or I don't know. I mean, in the pitching side, I was really expecting Messenger. But you know then, like, what?
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, I'm not sure if this is true, but I seem to remember there being some sort of import limitation on even on the All-Star squads. And I think that might be why Messenger wasn't named. Because Valdez, he finished a little bit higher in the voting, but also because one of the games was being played in Nagoya, that probably affected the manager's decision. So Valdez got in. And then, as we said, Mateo got in. And I'm not sure if there were any imports. I guess Guerrero got in as well. And maybe Brad Eldred. I'm not really sure, but I'm guessing, you know, he might be
deserving.
So that might be it. There might have been an import cap, and that might have been why Randy did not get the nod.
Makes sense.
Let's talk about our hitters then. Who have we got in on the hitting end of things?
So we got Toritani, we got Itoi, and we got Umeno.
Yeah, all three of these guys were voted in by the fans, the top vote getters. So they'll be the starters in those games. That's pretty exciting stuff. I'm glad to see that. And, you know, I'm not sure if this is a record for the lowest average ever, but, you know, Umeno, I think, is still below the Mendoza line, and yet he's the starting
pitcher. Yes. And it's crazy to see. Actually, I like the guys, but I really don't understand. I mean, I understand that it was a fan base voting, you know, so you kind of understand why these guys are there. But to be honest, Umeno, as you said, is below the Mendoza line. You know, he had some really good games. That's for sure. But Itoi also, but the production went down. So I to be honest, I'm not really sure about these two guys, but it's fine. It's fine. I like the selection. I'm not going to argue that much. And yeah. Coritani, I think, totally deserves. It's like a comeback year for him. And I mean, compared to the last year, mm-hmm. which was atrocious, you know, to go back this season and really be focused on the small things, I think he totally mm-hmm. deserves that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. And you know what? I'm one that I have no problems with the fan voting. I have no problems with no matter who they vote in. You know, even looking at the PL side, Shohei Ohtani was voted in as DH. He'd spent the majority of the season injured. But to me, you know, the All-Star game is the fans' game. The fans want to see who they want to see. And if they want to see Ohtani in the lineup, even though he's only played 10 games all year or whatever, hey, man, this is a game for the fans, so let them see Ohtani then. Because for some of these fans, maybe they don't get the chance to see Ohtani on a day-to-day basis, or they don't get to follow him, so I'd say cool.
True.
Especially like 20, 30 years ago when streaming games or cable TV was not as widespread as it is now, people were not able to see, for example, you know, Tigers fans weren't able to see the Pacific League stars. So if they have a chance to vote in PL stars, these names that they've heard about but they haven't ever seen on TV, yeah, of course they want to see them, right? So I'm okay with it. I mean, maybe the system needs a bit of an upgrade, but at the same time, I still think this is for the fans, so let it be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Zorni, we are going to jump in to the meat and potatoes of today's show. This is the middle of the season for all intents and purposes. You know, we're more than halfway done the season. There's 64 games left. We've already played 79. But we are going to do a mid-season report card. And so, you know, Zorni and I talked about this a little bit ahead of time. We've got 14 different areas that we want to touch on. Well, 15, I guess, if you count the predictions. So mm-hmm. let's go through them one by one. The first one is a manager's and coach's analysis or evaluation. So we want to give them a letter grade, just like a report card. So what kind of grade do you have for our manager, Tomoaki Kanemoto, and for the coaches?
All right. So I'll start with the managers. I will start with a C. I think it's just average, you know. Mm-hmm. I think Kanemoto, I don't know. I think he... good and bad things. Let's start with this. So the good things is that, I mean, he brings energy to the field, to the players. You often see that he appreciates when players deliver.
Yeah.
Always big smiles, big hugs. And I still think that he's experimenting with the team, but not much as last year.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get the perfect team. I think he's more in sync with this team than last year.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I think these are the good things about Kanemoto. But the bad thing is that sometimes he goes wacky, you know, like wacky Tomoaki.
Yes.
And he makes really stupid decisions. Like bunting the eighth guy, you know, instead of the pitcher, just because he's desperate for a run. So that's crazy, you know. Like, and the thing that he doesn't bench when, some of the guys that are not producing.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not a good factor, you know.
It's kind of favoritism, I think, you know. Like some guys will not get benched ever, and other guys have a very short leash. And it's not always about how much of a track record they have. So, yeah, I kind of sense a bit of favoritism there as well, Zorni.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and the thing is, you got to make the right decisions. You know, you cannot just let it go because things will turn all of a sudden. It's not going to work this way, you know.
He has to
just bench those guys. Like for example, like even the captain, you know, if you have to bench Fukudomi, you have to do it, you know, for the sake of the team. Just don't leave the guy there, you know. So
yeah,
that's,
you know, like
that's,
he's said that we can't afford to, because who else are we going to put in? Who cares? anybody is better than grounds into double play Fukudome, or can't hit the ball out of the infield, can't hit a line drive to save his life, you know, watches strike three constantly. And Fukudome has had tons of base running errors as well, you know, just where he seems to be caught off guard or whatever. Like, I can't believe it. You know, for a guy that is as seasoned a veteran as him, he should be doing better than that. So anyways, let's continue on the track of the managers and coaches. Here's, you know, I give them a C-, so I'm pretty much in the same camp as you. I don't think that the bench has won the team any games. What I mean by that is, like, making the right decision at the right time, whether it's putting in the right pinch hitter, whether it's pulling the pitcher at the right time, or, you know, putting in the right pitcher at the right time. Like, you know, a lot of it, I feel like I could have done. I don't think there's ever been a decision where I went, whoa, it's a good thing he made that decision at that time, type of thing. You know, and like we're saying, you know, with the bunting, it just seems a little bit ridiculous sometimes. The other issue that I have with the manager and coaches is the timing of the position changes. And what I mean by that is they allowed for Haraguchi and Toritani to, you know, fight for the catching position and the shortstop position respectively through this spring training in Okinawa. And then all of a sudden in March, you know, they're giving these guys like 3 weeks and saying, okay, Haraguchi, you're first base now. Okay, Toritani, you're third base now. Well, yeah, guess what? You're going to have a lot of fielding miscues and errors if that's what you're doing. I really think that cost the team a lot in the beginning, where there were a lot of bad plays and not all of them are in the record book as errors, but just some, you know, wrong positioning or, you know, like just another example in that Giants loss last week. Toritani let the ball bounce, he didn't let the ball bounce foul. If he had, you know, the play would have continued, the at-bat would have continued, and there would have been a chance of no runs in that first inning. And, you know, the opposite thing happened early in the year where he tried to let the ball bounce foul, but he wasn't able to judge it right. It did not go foul. So things like that, where they're just not used to being there, and they don't always get called out on errors, but they certainly look bad in the field. And then also Fukudome, they switched him over to left field just last month. And I think that's ended up hurting them as well. You know, just last week in Yokohama, in the game where Randy was starting, and we talked about how one of the balls got past Fukudome, it went under his glove. Well, actually, apparently he lost the ball in the lights. And apparently the lights in Yokohama are a bit funky and stuff like that. But maybe somebody who was experienced in Yokohama would have known better, and that wouldn't have happened. So, you know, I just really think that the timing of these position changes is just a little bit off. I think, you know, they didn't come into the season with the proper game plan.
Yeah, true. And I'm going to discuss this with you further on, but that's pretty much what I was to say. I mean, about the defense and how things are not going that well because of these decisions. You know, like Haraguchi, as you said, you know. So, like, let's start the year with Haraguchi at first. So, actually, the very first games weren't that good at all, because there were so many mistakes by Haraguchi's side, you know.
Yes.
And
really.
But it's, I mean, you can understand why, you know. Haraguchi is not used to playing, you know, in first base, and the guy needs time to be comfortable within the position. So I think couldn't they start before on the camp?
Yeah, right? I think it's still an adjustment period now. I mean, I still don't expect Haraguchi to be a great defensive first baseman, and I don't hold Toritani to super high standards either. Granted, I think he is doing quite well considering you know how sudden the move was. And, you know, even the fact that during spring training, they tried Toritani out at second base. I think even during March, during the exhibition games, they had him at second base for a while. So, you know, those things considered, he's doing all right. But, you know, let's jump right into our analysis of the defense, or our evaluation of the defense, since we're on the topic. And for myself, Zoni, I'm giving them a grade of F.
All right.
You know, and it's just straight up. I mean, the defense is probably the worst in NPB, certainly the worst in the Central League. And it has been better recently, but there's still a lot of guys not making basic plays. And part of it is, you know, these sudden position changes that are causing confusion, or just causing, you know, them to not know what they're supposed to be doing or where they're supposed to be standing or whatever. But then also guys that are quote unquote experienced or a little bit better, Itoi has not been the guy that he's supposed to be in the outfield. Takayama has not been great in the outfield either. So, you know, we've got all these guys all over the diamond that just aren't doing their thing. The only guys that I would commend or I applaud are Umeno and then Yamato when he's put in. There's a couple other guys that are okay. You know, Uemoto is good, other than the fact that he sometimes blows real easy plays. But that's my analysis. What do you think?
I'll go a little
not that hard on them.
Yeah, not that hard on them.
Yeah,
I'll give them an E. Okay. The thing is, as you said, you know, like I think that we have a lot of problems in the infield and not that much on the outfield. The problem is that we don't have really key players for each position. If you think about like catcher, who was our catcher last year? It was Haraguchi, and this year's Umeno. But at the same time, he shares the time. I mean, he splits the time with Okazaki. Some really minor games we have like Sakamoto, but we still don't have the catcher. We still don't have like a third baseman, which is Toritani. Which I mean, as you said, he was. I mean, in the camp, he was playing shortstop and second base.
Yeah.
So we still don't have which was supposed to. I mean, the guy that was supposed to be there was Campbell, but right. He's not there.
Yeah.
So we have like we still have Toritani playing, and he's doing fine. I'll give that.
Yeah.
And but even shortstop, we thought that Hoja would take over.
Yeah.
But actually, no.
No.
You know, Itohara is playing.
Yeah, it's been a revolving door there as well between Itohara, Yamato, and then occasionally, you know, actually those are the two main guys. But then, you know, Hojo was there until just a little while ago. So, you're right. I mean, a lot of these positions, we just don't have somebody that's been there day in and day out. Like probably the guy that's got the most playing time at one position is Uemoto.
Yeah, but exactly. So I think Uemoto right now is our second baseman.
Yep.
Even if Nishioka comes back, I would just stick with Uemoto.
Oh yeah, you know? Sure, me too.
But that's also a problem because like Nishioka's coming back from injury. So where are we gonna put this guy?
Should we
put him at third? I don't think so.
No.
And also Haraguchi, he's not a first baseman. And but at the same time, we got Rogers now. So hopefully we'll fill the gap with Rogers.
So the fielding positions, though, are just a mess overall, right? Like we just
exactly. Yeah. But that's been
piecing people in there where maybe he'll be good here, maybe he'll be okay here, and it's nothing solid, you know. Like even you look at a guy like Nakatani, and it's like, well, okay, do you want him as your first baseman? Do you want him as your starting outfielder, as a utility outfielder, or what? I mean,
you
got to find somebody like that a place. You know, that's going to help him settle in and become a better hitter as well when he's not worried about where he's going to be playing on defense or not worrying about how to make the adjustment on defense. When he can just go out there and do his thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyways, speaking of which, let's move on and talk a little bit about the hitters.
Okay, fine.
And let's evaluate the hitters. So, what you got? What's your score for them?
So, let me check here. The hitters, I'll give a C.
Okay.
I'll give a C because I think this year we have more power than last year.
Uh-huh.
I think if you check our starting lineup from the beginning of the season, it's a very tough lineup to beat, you know, like pitchers to beat.
Yeah.
And I think right now we have a really good, batting order. I think it's we have more power. But at the same time, all of a sudden they stop hitting. I don't know why. But I mean, in theory, we have not just in theory, but we saw what we can do with these guys.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they get cold, and it's so hard to take them out of this slump. You know, I don't know why. But I overall, I'll give a C.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. You know, yeah, you're right. It seems like they're all slumping at the same time or they're all hitting well at the same time. And that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'm giving them a B-. And I think one of the reasons I'm evaluating them a bit higher is they've got really good selectivity at the plate. You know, they're walking a lot more than any other team. They're just showing a lot more patience, waiting for their pitch. And, you know, they don't always hit the ball super hard, but they seem to be swinging the bats a bit better this year than last year. So that's also a good sign.
Yeah.
And they just seem, you know, really tenacious. There's times where, you know, even if we're behind in a game, they are still giving it their all. And, you know, we've had a lot of come from behind wins, including the one on Wednesday night. And so I'm going to give them a little bit of props for that. You know, they're not quite where they should be. You know, we still don't have the power that we need overall. You know, we don't have the number four batter that we need overall, but all that might change real soon, right? And we'll talk about that in just a second, but let's jump in now with the starting pitchers. What kind of grade do you have for them?
Okay, overall C.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I think the surprise this year is actually the bottom part of the rotation, if we can call it the bottom part. I mean, you have Akiyama, you have Ono having quality starts. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even though Ono doesn't have any wins so far, but I mean, he had good quality starts. So I'll give them A. And Messenger, I mean, he is not getting the rhythm, I would say, that he had last year. I think Fujinami is like, what should I say about Fujinami? I have nothing to say, you know. He sucks. And he's bringing this whole grade, overall grade down. You know, so that, I mean, he's sinking the whole thing. So that's why I'm giving a C. Nomi is fine. Nomi, I would just give it a B and stuff. But, I mean, overall, I will give a C.
Okay. I just did a grade on the whole, and I'm giving them an A-, actually. So I'm being maybe a little bit generous. But, you know, when you consider that you got a six-man rotation, and any of our guys on any given week have the potential of winning the game, have the potential of going six innings, seven innings, and just one or two runs. I mean, they've all done it. So there's no real easy, I would say, any easy outing for the opposing teams. And that says something. I don't think there's any other team that could say that of their pitching staff. You know, we got Messenger, Nomi, Akiyama, Ono, Iwasada, Aoyagi, you know, and not even Fujinami's, you know, stinker of the season has been able to weaken our starting rotation that much. And that's partly because Ono has emerged as a viable starter in our rotation, which I think is a nice surprise, because honestly, I was thinking it might be a year or two before he earned himself regular playing time. So good on him. And, you know, Iwasada, I didn't expect him to be as dominant as he was last year. And, you know, in fact, he hasn't, but he's been pretty solid. You know, it seems like he's adjusting well to the fact that he's not the same guy as he was last year. He's still putting together some pretty adequate outings, but, you know, he has fallen victim to the long bomb several times. Okay, let's talk about the bullpen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that the problem with Iwasada in the beginning of the season, I think it was Umeno catching him. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was Okazaki all the way. And since they changed to Okazaki, I mean, he improved a lot. So yeah. I think that's, I mean, Okazaki right now is like, it's his catcher. Every time that he plays, he's catching Iwasada. I mean, Iwasada can really perform better.
There's something to be said about having the right catcher for your pitcher, you know, and how the catcher will bring out the better in that pitcher. So yeah, good call on that one. Interesting. Okay, let's talk about our bullpen now. Hey, man, you might be surprised by this, but I'm giving our bullpen an A+. I really think that they are maybe even the best bullpen, you know, overall. I mean, you know, from closer all the way up to mop-up guy, I think we've got the most solid bullpen in the Central for sure, if not in all of NPB right now. You know, you even look at a guy like Kyuji, who's been playing mostly in games where the team is behind, and his ERA is something like 3. And before his, you know, this past week, I think his ERA was like 2.2 or something like that. So, you know, you can talk about, you know, the 7th, 8th, 9th inning guys like we had back in the JFK days in 2005. You know, we've got Kuwahara, Mateo, and Dolis, and they are rock solid, man. So, You know, I just think, you know, because on top of them, you got Iwasaki and Takahashi, who are also, you know, very solid left-handed relievers. So good stuff there. It just seems like there's just that one slot that we can kind of tinker with, you know, like where Matsuda staying it up for a little while. And then we've brought in like Kazuo Ito, or we've brought in a couple of other guys in that spot. But otherwise, they're just incredible. What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I have the same grade. I gave the same grade, A plus. That's a heck of a bullpen that we have. I mean, talking about ERAs, I mean, the leading guy that is leading the ERA list is Kuwahara with 0.72. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
0.72. That's amazing. Amazing. The guy's, I mean, he's dominant. I mean, every time that he goes to the mound, I mean, you can expect that he's gonna be very dominant. You know, I mean, very clutch pitches, and it's really good to see. You know, and as you mentioned, we have Iwasaki with 1.6, Takahashi with 1.73, Mateo with 1.75,
mm-hmm.
and just Dolis goes a little beyond, you know, is like 2.94.
Right.
I mean, it's just like five guys with a very good ERA, you mm-hmm. know. It's amazing. It's amazing. This year we have like a really solid bullpen, and I'll give a plus. And talking about JFK, I think that is something that we're expecting for a long time. And yeah. If you think in the seventh inning, we can have like Kuwahara, Takahashi, or even Iwasaki, and then mm-hmm. Mateo and Dolis. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's yeah. the combination that we need to go through games. So I think right now that's the highest grade on my lineup here. A plus.
Me too. Absolutely. Me too. All right, yeah. Let's jump into some individual awards or individual things now. First one, surprise hitter of the year. Who has surprised you for the better, of course, you know, someone who has performed much better than you expected?
See, that's tough. That's mm-hmm. really tough. But I'll go with Itohara.
I'll
go with Itohara.
Okay.
Yeah, even though, like, I know that his average is not that good right now. But if you see his wrist, it's better than Fukudomi, Nakatani, and Haraguchi. So mm-hmm. I think that's what we need. You know, we need people that can put some RBIs. You know, bring some runs. And I don't know. I wasn't expecting nothing from Itohara, to be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah,
and he's really a surprise to me.
You know, this is a guy that as a rookie has almost as many walks as strikeouts. And to me, that's one of the things that I look at when I look at a hitter and his greatness is, you know, can he show selectivity at the plate? Is he able to get on base even when his bat isn't working? Because every hitter is going to go through hitting slumps, right? Where they just yeah. can't put the ball, you know, the ball will not find open ground or whatever, or they can't push the ball to the infield. But if they can still find a way to make themselves useful, and one of those is getting on base through the walk, you know, fighting off pitches, stuff like that. Itohara is doing that right from the get-go. And that's something that other teams' pitchers have to respect. And like you said, you know, this is a guy that was drafted in, what, the fifth round this year? Fifth round. He was mm-hmm. drafted out of Industrial League, which, again, to me, sometimes when I hear that, I always think, like, okay, lower expectations. You know, he wasn't drafted out of university or he wasn't drafted out of high school, so he's probably not going to amount to much. But this is a kid. You know, he has got 12 doubles, which is good for a tie for second on our team. And he's got an on-base percentage of .333. So, yeah, like he's doing it. Like you said, his batting average, the runners in scoring position is also quite good. So, nice pick there. I am going to go with Masahiro Nakatani for mine. And maybe
good
it's
one.
Not a huge
good
surprise.
One.
But, you know, this is a guy that up until this past season did not have much of a career. You know, last year he finally mm-hmm. was able to do something with a bit of playing time, but he still, I think he only had, what, like 4 home runs last year? And
yeah.
now he's got 9 already this season. You know, so last year he had 154 at-bats and he had 4 home runs. This year, let me pull this up here. This year, in 205 at-bats, he's got 9 home runs already. So he's more than doubled his home runs in, you know, maybe just 30% more at-bats. He still doesn't have great selectivity at the plate, but when you compare him to Takayama, his strikeout numbers are not as bad at all. And he's started to hit the ball for average as well lately. He's got himself all the way up to 268. And guess who that puts him in a tie with? Itoi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big surprise for me. I like Nakatani up there. I think he brings some good energy. I like him. Let's go with disappointing hitter of the year next.
Okay, I think that's unanimous, right? Well, I don't know. See. I don't probably. I'm going to say the guy. I think everyone by now knows who I'm going to talk about. You know, I'm talking about Fukudome.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Fukudome, man. You're such a disappointment. I don't know. It's what happened? You know, what happened? I think that's the question. That's the $1 million question. What happened to you, Fukudome? Where are you? You know, I mean, swinging at bad pitches, not producing at all. You know, where are the bombs?
He's looking at a lot of good pitches too. You know, he's a guy that seen
that's
every
thing.
Time he strikes out looking, he'll look at the umpire like, "What? That was a strike?" But man, when you do that like 20, 30 times, buddy, it's a strike.
Yeah, and the thing is about Fukudome is that I think that what really upset me throughout the season was that he was calling out Fujinami out. Fujinami out.
Uh-huh.
The lack of grit, you know, that he didn't have the energy that when he was in the mound, he wasn't actually expecting, a win or something like this. You know, the guys didn't expect much from Fujinami. Come on, look at yourself.
Yeah.
Fukudome, please, man. You know, like a lot of ground balls, you know. I mean, when was the last time? I think the last series, right? He was kind of okay.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he's leading the league in double plays, though, with 15.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, Fukudome. You're the captain. You're supposed to, you know, I don't know, give the guy some energy, you know. I don't know. You're supposed to guide the guys.
Yeah.
Not to throw them under the bus or something.
Yeah.
Come on, Fukudome. You can do better than this, man.
In his defense, he's 40 years old, but he's certainly fallen, you know, he's fallen off that cliff pretty fast because last year he had a really good year average-wise, and the year before he had a good, great year power-wise. So he's certainly dropped off pretty quickly. But, you know, he's still got a chance to redeem himself. I actually am going to give it to somebody else. You know, I have Fukudome on my list too, Zorny, but I'm giving it to Taiga Egoshi. Somebody who has, you know, fallen out of the spotlight
big time. I wasn't expecting
this. Well, you know, this is a guy that he's never had a great average. You know, his average in his two seasons with the team is .212. And his on-base percentage is not great either, just a .269. But in his rookie season, he hit 5 home runs in limited playing time. And then last year, he had 7 home runs in also limited playing time, 191 at-bats. So kind of comparable numbers. Other than the average part, to Nakatani this year. And this is a guy that honestly, like when I've seen him play and I've just read a bunch about him and just watched the highlights and stuff, I think he's got the best package, man. He has got the tools. He has got good power. He has got good speed. He has got good defense. But something wrong with that boy's head because this year, I mean, on the top squad, I think he only had 9 at-bats. He went 1 for 9. So he's batting .111. But even on the farm, man, I don't think he's even batting .100 on the farm in his time down there. So there's something going on. I don't know if it's mechanics or if it's a mental thing, but that guy is letting me down because I really was hoping that he could be like our Yamada or, you know, Yanagita type, I guess. Maybe Yanagita more like it, more than Yamada. But, you know, a guy that could field well, a guy that could run well, a guy that could hit for power, and he hasn't done it. Not even close. So to me, he's the disappointing hitter of the year.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, remember last year we were at the game.
Yeah.
And the guy was amazing.
He made an incredible catch in center.
Yes.
And he also hit a home run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He did both things, you know, like he had such a good speed. It was a really hard catch to catch.
Yeah.
And he did it. and
he saved the game.
I don't know, we lost later. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we lost, but I mean, that was the play of the game.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And where's he now? I don't know, man. It's crazy how things turn.
We need Wizzo's daughter to go talk to him. She loves Egoshi. Okay, let's move on. Pitcher. No, pardon me. Surprise pitcher of the year. We'll go with the good pitcher. First. Surprise pitcher.
Okay, to me, is the all-star, the all-star guy, Akiyama. Okay. That was a surprise. That was a surprise. Sure. I wasn't expecting at all. I mean, we always expect from the top guys, you know, like Messenger, Nomi, and even with Iwasada. But, I mean, none of these guys are actually having a really good year. But, I mean, even though Messenger has like 8 wins, but he could have so much more. But Akiyama, I wasn't expecting. This guy is having a really good season, pitching well, going through like going deep in the games. So yeah. I'll give it to Akiyama.
You know, Akiyama, up until this season, I mean, this is his 8th year with the team. He was drafted out of high school in 2009. He had 6 career wins, and he's got 7 this year. And of course, you know, wins are not the true measure of a pitcher's greatness or whatever, but even if you look at his career ERA of almost 5 heading into this season, he's under 3 now. You know, he's also really gotten his walks under control. He wasn't terrible before, but he certainly was not a control pitcher the way that he is now. And that's, I think, one of the keys with him. I mean, that may even be one of his faults. You know, he has been pounding the strike zone maybe a bit too much, and it's kind of hurt him. He's had quite a few home runs against. But yeah, good call on that for a surprise pitcher. I've actually got 2 that are not named Akiyama, and so I will name both. The first one we've already talked about a bit, and that's Taiki Ono. I didn't think that he would do it this soon. And this is a kid that right now, you know, his ERA is 4.62, so it's not great. But when you consider the first couple starts he had, you know, he's really come a long ways. And, you know, his FIP, his fielding independent pitching, he's a 3.84, which means that maybe he's been a little bit unlucky as far as, you know, stuff that the field has been doing to him and stuff like that. The other one, though, and we've talked about this guy as well, is Kuwahara.
Yeah.
This is the guy.
I have him on my list. I have him on my list.
You know, Zorni, he was almost cut in the offseason. You know, he was one of, what, 6 pitchers? No, 6 players last year on the 70-man roster that didn't get any Ichigun top squad action at all. And I was thinking, because this is Kanemoto's, you know, first season, he let everybody have a chance. And then I thought, like, all these guys that didn't get a chance to play, guys like Saka, if you remember him, you know, I thought all of them were going to get cut. And so I thought Kuwahara was done. And then when I heard that he was going to be at the spring training in Okinawa, I was like, why Kuwahara? And then when he made the top squad on opening day, I was like, what? Are you serious? And then in the first game of the year, he gave up a home run to Takahiro Arai. And I was like, uh-huh, you see? This guy's junk. But no, man, he has been the best pitcher on our team. And honestly, like when... I say when. If we win the pennant this year, it's a big if.
Yeah.
But if we were to... If. And, you know, they name, you know, the Lee MVP, right? And it almost always comes off of the pennant-winning team. Who could be named other than him, honestly? I really think, like, he's the guy. He has been the difference between who we were last year and who we are this year in a lot of ways. He's that third reliever that can be counted on in all situations. So, yeah, I'd say he is my surprise pitcher of the year. But what about disappointing pitcher of the year?
Yeah, so drum roll. It's very disappointing, but I have to go with Messenger.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. I mean, because I think to me he's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, absolutely. And I think the problem with Messenger is that when he's on the mound, I always count as a win. You know, it's probably the only guy that when he's on the mound, I said, man, we're going to win this thing. And this year, he's struggling a lot. I don't know why, but he's struggling a lot.
Especially since Interleague.
He's struggling to get batters out. He's struggling to get out of jams. And it wasn't like this last year. I think right now, he's getting... probably he will fix that. I mean, after the All-Star break, mm-hmm. let's see if this break it's gonna be good for him. But to be honest, I'm kind of disappointed at Messenger. You know, I think that was the year for him to. We always expect this, but I was thinking about like maybe that he could win the Sawamura, maybe.
Yeah, that was his goal too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I was, my expectations were so high, you know. Mm-hmm. And right now he could have more wins, and as you said, you know, like the wins are not the decisive factor to decide if the guy is doing well or not.
Unfortunately, it is the factor that'll decide if he wins the Sawamura, though,
because exactly, of the way it's, exactly.
That's really unfortunate. You know,
but I mean, at the same time, he's going deep in games. You know, he always tried to go a little bit further. You know, not to to get the bullpen, you know, out. So yeah. To me, it's kind of disappointing. You know, it's not the I could say Fujinami is it's the biggest disappointment. You know,
yeah.
But I think that's pretty much it's there already. You know. I wasn't expecting much from him, so, but Messenger, I always my expectations always high,
right?
And he's not delivering that in the way that I really wanted, you know.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I'm gonna just say a couple things on that. First of all, you're right about some of the things that you said, and certainly like even not this past outing against the Dragons, but the one before against the Bay Stars, he only went 5 innings and it took him like 126 pitches. And it just seems like in the last like 4 or 5, maybe 6 outings that he's had, he's been going through pitches like crazy, and it stopped him from being able to go deep in games. And so that's probably one of the reasons that you are mentioning him as the disappointment. But I will say that to me, I'm not disappointed. In fact, I think that he's having just a standard Messenger year. I mean, if you look at his ERA, it's just under 3. His career ERA is 3.05, something like that. So he's right around there. You know, he's got 107 strikeouts in 103 innings pitched. So he's leading the team in innings pitched. So he's eating a lot of innings. He's leading the team in strikeouts. So he's doing well there. And he only has 2 more walks than Fujinami. And if you add in guys that get hit by pitches, he and Fujinami are tied with 36. And Fujinami has only thrown 40 innings. So 40% of the innings that Randy has. And speaking of Fujinami, he is, definitely my most disappointing pitcher of the season. I wasn't expecting him to be the team ace just yet. I really think that he's got a couple of years before he may or may not be that. But I definitely was expecting more than seeing him farmed as quickly as he was farmed, having only started in 7 games. And, just the games that I've been at 2 of his starts, I think, this season. He went 1-1 in those starts. One of them was the big brawl. The other one was a game against the Bay Stars. And But I think I saw him walk like 14 guys in 2 starts, which is just atrocious. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what's happened to him, but he's certainly his downward trends in everything is disturbing. You know, fewer strikeouts, way more walks, way less control. He's going not nearly as deep in his outings. And he's gotten lucky. He's gotten out of jams because he's still got good stuff. But for a guy that won in double digits for, 4 of his first 5 seasons, 3 of his first 4 seasons, I should say, I expect better. And, he's a guy that if he does come back and pitch well, man, we've got a dilemma on our hands. Who are we going to have as our 6-man rotation? So, I don't know. I would just like to see him do a little bit better. All right, let's talk about the comeback player of the year. Who has bounced back from a bad 2016 or from injury or something to make a difference on this team?
Okay, to me, it's Umeno.
Okay.
Umeno, by this time of the year, last year, I didn't even know that he existed. Yeah, because Haraguchi was doing so well. When Haraguchi came to the plate, I thought, man, I think now we have, we finally found our catcher, because, so far we don't have a catcher. And when Haraguchi showed up, I said to myself, man, maybe we have the catcher, because he was so good. He was producing so much, you know, like, so, I mean, by the time of the year, I didn't even remember that Umeno was there, you know, it even existed. I think he was at the farm
No, you're right.
By that time.
He got farmed at the end of April, and he spent a good chunk of time down there last year.
Yeah. And this year, I mean, he's the catcher, mainly because I think the Haraguchi it's playing first, and so they gave him like another chance, and but I mean he's another Umeno, you know, he's hitting, he's throwing guys out of at second, you know, and he was huge against that comeback against the Carp.
Yeah,
he was huge.
You know, one of the intangibles that he's got too is that he's able to lay down the bunt, and of course the timing of it. You know, when he's asked to bunt with the pitcher coming next, it's a bad call. But like, let's say late in the game, you know, you need that one run to tie or to go ahead, and Umeno's up, and you're going to bring a pinch hitter in for the pitcher. Umeno will lay down that bunt, and I think his success rate is, it might even be 100%. It's really close. So he's doing the little things here, right.
Yeah, and he was selected, you know, to play the All-Star.
Yeah,
so I think that is an accomplishment. You know?
That might even boost his confidence too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He's having like more appearances, you know, like more playing
exposure.
Time.
Yeah.
And I think that's good.
Yeah.
You know, so I think to me, Umeno, I mean, if you compare it to last year, man, I who is this guy? You know,
but now
Umeno is the guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really want him to succeed. You know, I really want to see him as our catcher for good. I mean, enough of the catchers and the experiment. We have to have a catcher.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be Umeno.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it would be nice to see him pick up his batting average a little bit. But at the same time, he has not grounded into any double plays. And, you know, like he's laid down the 19 clean bunts. He is tied for fifth on the team in RBIs. Pretty good for a number eight batter. He's tied with Haraguchi, actually. He's doing well. I'm going to give the comeback player of the year to Takashi Toritani. And maybe it's a pretty obvious one, but...
I knew it.
He has got... yeah. I mean, you know, it's pretty tough to choose anybody else, but at least for me, you know, he was so terrible last year on defense and at the plate. He's batting almost 300. You know, he's got more walks than strikeouts, which is the first time he's done this since 2014, I believe. So, you know, he's getting on base at almost a 400 clip and playing solid defense. You know, he's making the occasional mistake. He's committing the occasional, they're pretty infrequent now, but, you know, errors. You know, he's also got some of those mistakes that don't count as errors, but I think he's definitely a lot more dependable than he was last year, maybe even the year before. So for a guy who just turned 36, I'm going to give him the comeback player of the year, but I'm hoping that at season's end, I'll be able to say Tsuyoshi Nishioka is the comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
That remains to be seen.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm pretty excited.
All right, man, real quick, let us jump into the top three games of the season in Europe.
All right.
And let's do this in reverse order. So you can name your number three and your number two and then stop there. And we'll both name our number one at the same time. So go with your number three and your number two.
Okay, because I think we know who's the number one, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my number three is the third game against the Lions, Koshien.
Oh yeah. That was a nice one, June 15th. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And my second one is the game three against the Fighters, also at Koshien. That was. What that was the game that Takashiro like jumped like I don't know,
yes.
Like there's no tomorrow. I mean he
like
jumped
a 5-year old having a tantrum. Yeah.
Yes. And that was to me was an incredible game.
Okay.
What a game.
Let's go back to your number three pick then at Koshien.
Okay.
It was a 3-2 final, and the winning hit came off the bat of who?
It was Haraguchi.
Yes, it was.
Right. Yep.
And that was, I think, with the bases loaded. Am I right?
Bases loaded, one out. Yep. Yeah, bottom of the 10th.
Bottom of the 10th, yeah. So, yeah, that was just a really exciting moment. And that was one where Fukudome set it up by bunting Takayama over. And that was kind of a surprise. And Fukudome actually almost was safe on his bunt attempt. So that was just kind of cool to see him go in with a bunch of energy and try something unexpected. But yeah, it was a real exciting game. For me, it was fun to watch on TV. It's too bad I was at the game 2 days before, which was also a good one. That was the Shunsuke game that you were talking about earlier where he did really well.
Yeah.
Or one of them. Okay, and then in your other one, June the 4th, that was also at Koshien against the Fighters. That was also a walk-off, a 4-3 victory for us. And I actually had this as one of my candidates as well for top three. But so who hit the walk-off hit in that one?
Okazaki.
Yes, that was Okazaki. Yes. And one of the reasons that I love this game so much, and I'll let you talk a bit because it was your choice, but during Okazaki's at-bat, I just remember the camera going to the bench, and the guys were talking to each other, and every pitch that he fouled off, they were applauding, and they were yelling out their approval to him, and they had their water bottles ready. They were like, dude, when this guy hits the walk-off, we are charging. And just to see that, like to see the team with that energy, that made this game extra special to me. How about you? Was there anything else that stood out in this game for you?
I think the call on third, that was the main thing to you know, that was the high note, you know, because I mean, since then it was just like I mean, it was just we're trying to I think we're in the bottom of the 11, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. So like we were trailing before, we were trailing in the bottom of the ninth, like 3-1.
Yep.
We brought up two runs. We tied the game. We went by the bottom of the 11th, we had a really good momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
And Hojo just he bunted, and then bunted to the pitcher. The pitcher throws to third, and Yamato is out. I mean, that killed the thing, you know, like, oh my God, we had such a good momentum.
Yeah,
and you can tell by Takashiro's reaction, Kanemoto's reaction, and even Yamato, I mean, he was about to cry too. I mean, the guy, I mean, he was like just waving his arms like, oh man, I was safe, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so crazy. I mean, Takashiro went nuts. Kanemoto went outside,
to talk to
the ump. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, don't screw the game. We had such a good momentum.
Yeah.
But later on, what happened? I mean, let me check here what happened. But I mean, Haraguchi gets on base and loads the bases again. Toritani is at third.
Mm-hmm.
And Okazaki is having a heck of a at-bat.
Yes.
You know, like it's full count. He's fouling every pitch. And he connects a good one to the left.
Truth be told, I was expecting a walk-off walk. I really thought the way Okazaki was hanging in, he was going to let a bad pitch go. But hey, that was even better the way he did it. And he was the guy the day before that hit the go-ahead home run, the first home run of his career. So that was really cool.
Right, right.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, and the thing is, just one more thing.
Yeah.
The announcer, even the announcer lost his breath. I mean, he was like so crazy about like saying sayonara.
Uh-huh.
He was like sayonara, and then he lost his breath.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everyone was so excited about this. This was one a heck of a comeback and a heck of a game.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I like your calls on those. I am going to then give you my number three and my number two. So I actually had both of yours that you named on my list as well, but I found some backup ones. So my number three is Tuesday, May the 9th, and it was us against the Giants at Tokyo Dome. It was Akiyama against Sugano. And Sugano was coming into this one. See? Three straight complete game shutouts coming into this one. And if he throws another, he sets the record for most consecutive. He sets, I think it was a tie. Anyways, we took care of that real quick. So we got two runs in the first inning, and then we got a couple more in the third inning. We ended up winning this one 4-1. Akiyama pitched a brilliant game. Dolis came in and shut it down. And so it was just great to see just us being able to beat Sugano, because that's not something that happens every time out. And again, you know, I'm always looking for this proof that our team can beat the aces. Because for 2015, 2016, that was a big problem for this club. So that's my first one. We won that one 4-1. The other one was actually opening day. And again, this comes down to us proving that we could beat the Aces. And so, of course, what happened in this one, it was Randy Messenger against Chris Johnson. And we absolutely pulverized Chris Johnson. We ended up winning this game 10-6. And Randy didn't have his best game by any means. But, you know, the guys just came out and played. Takayama, again, opens the season, being the first batter for our team, gets a hit off of an ace pitcher. We got two runs in the first inning, and then we got three more in the third inning. We got two more in the fourth inning. We got one more in the sixth inning, and then we got a couple more insurance runs in the ninth inning. So it was just overall from start to finish, the team that made us look like idiots all year last year, we beat them so badly in the first game of the year. That was the stuff. So to me, that's the number two right there. Again, proof that we can beat an ace. We beat the defending Sawamura Award pitcher. And so that was good stuff. And now we move on to the top game of the year. And without a doubt, it has to be
the greatest comeback in team history. Against
the Carp.
Yeah.
And I was there, and I told the story on that particular episode. Yes. But man, what a game. For those of you who were not in the know at the time, maybe you weren't a fan yet, maybe you just happened to miss that weekend, or maybe you were living under a rock, this is what happened. In the first 4.5 innings of the game, we had Fukunaga. Again, this guy was in the fresh All-Star game. He was on the mound for the first time ever, and he gave up a whole whack load of runs. I think he gave up 6 runs in the first 4 innings. And then Ryoma Matsuda came in and gave up 3 more runs in the top of the 5th. So it was 9-0 for Hiroshima after the top of the 5th. And we got back 1 run in the bottom of the 5th. So it's 9-1. And then, look out, it just got full on crazy in the 6th inning. Like, the funny thing is, we scored 7 runs, but we only had 3 hits. One of them was an RBI single by Toritani. It was kind of a lucky one that could have been called an error. But, you know, the hits counted, man. You know, we had the Takayama bases-clearing triple, right?
Yeah.
And...
The Takayama was there.
And then Hojo double as well, so...
Yes.
And then in the next inning, there was the crazy play where... who was it? Who got the hit that Egoshi tried to come around on? It was an... hang on a second. Oh, it was on the Toritani error. Okay, so their second baseman bobbled the ball, and it kind of ended up caroming off of him and going several feet away. And Egoshi dashed for home, made it home. The tag looked like it would miss him. It didn't even look like he tagged him, so they called him safe at home, and then they did like a 20-minute video replay and called him out.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that? And it was crazy because I was like, there's no way they're reversing this call. Not at Koshien, not with the momentum that Hanshin has built. They are not going to allow this building to explode. But they did.
But that would tie the game, right?
That would have tied the game. But instead it was out, so then it's 2 outs and runners on first and second, and rookie Itohara up at the plate.
Yes.
So it looks like, man, you know, is he going to be able to handle this pressure? And he does, man. He gets a hit to right field, and Seiya Suzuki throws it home, and barely safe was Nakatani on that play.
But they didn't
video replay. And then Umeno came up, and he hit a triple to the gap in right center, and that brought home a couple runs. So, yeah. So it was just hardcore crazy. I mean, that was easily the funnest game of the year to be at. I think it was like 4 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. But just nuts. So yeah, definitely for both of us, that is the game of the year. I think if you asked any Hanshin fan, they would give you that answer.
Absolutely. That was history, man. We saw history. I mean, especially you were there, you know. I mean, we're going to talk about this for years.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Amazing.
The highs and such lows nice of that game, or the lows and then all the highs. I mean, it's hard to go through that all in one day, but it was so much fun. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's go on to the flip side of things. The worst game of the year.
What okay. So I'm not giving just one game. I'm okay. giving a whole series.
I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And you,
I know where you're
you
going.
Probably know which one is.
Yep.
It's the last season against the Carp, a series against the Carp.
Yep.
I think that was so weird because we were coming from a great interleague. How can I say this? But a campaign. You know, we had a really good campaign. You know, last year wasn't that good. This year it was really good. I mean, we beat pretty much. We had, I think, when what was our standing on the? I think we our place was like fifth.
Fourth,
In the standings, fourth.
I think so.
So we had a really good campaign, you know, interleague campaign.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we had like this short break. I think it was like 2-3 days. I can remember right
like
now.
4 days off, yeah.
Yeah. And then the Carp game. I mean, the Carp series.
Killed us.
I mean, the first game was terrible. Terrible, yeah. Terrible game.
13-3 loss.
And the second, yeah. And the second game was a rainout.
Yeah. And then the third one was a 6-0 loss.
Yeah, we didn't play exactly with a shutout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the start of the end, I would say. You know, of a bad streak.
Yeah.
That was the start of, this whole thing. We just went down on the standings. It was, we started to collapse there, you know. And I don't know why. Don't know why.
So, are you talking there? Zorni, are you saying the worst games of the year would be the Carp series, or are you talking about the next series where we scored one run in three games against the Dragons?
That are you could talking be, about both? But I mean, yeah, no, we're actually. I mean, to me, is the Carp because that was the start, the beginning of the end.
Yeah,
you know? that was. I mean, when we totally collapsed. That's the thing. That's the word. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I cannot have another word to describe how frustrating. It was, I mean, the upcoming series.
Even
you know?
Even a split so that, series there, if we'd won one out of two there, it would have made a huge difference mentally.
Exactly. Right? I totally agree. I totally agree. But, I mean, we got swept.
Just a close game in there. Like, if we fought back and you know, made one of those games close or whatever. But,
that would be better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole series sucked. Even the rainout, you know, like...
Nomi was getting slapped around when it got called.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad that actually it got rained out.
me too. All right, well, I'm gonna name my worst game of the year as well, and mine is also against the Carp, but mine is going all the way back to game two of the series of the season on April the 1st. Mm-hmm. Man, you got to be joking me. You see what I did there? Mm-hmm. April 1st, joking me, fooling me. Well, so anyways, Hanshin actually started this one well. We got a 4-0 lead. But Iwasata blew it, and then we got ourselves an 8-5 lead, and I don't think it was Iwasata at this point. It might have been Matsuda who blew it this time. Then Kyuji blew it. Then Mateo blew it. And then Dolis blew it. And we ended up losing this one 9-8, you know, after an 8-5 lead.
Yeah, I remember this one.
Yeah, and this one was where both teams combined for the most walks in a single game. Or we tied the record of 26 in 9 innings, and then in the 10th inning, there was another walk, so 27 walks in this game. This game went for 5 hours and 15 minutes, and it was just painstaking. And I thought to myself, man, if we cannot seal the deal and complete these leads against the Carp, it's going to be another long season. And so for me, that was just the most disheartening game of the year. Although recently, you know, they've come pretty close to matching that. The games against the Giants really frustrated me too. All right, let's move forward now. We are going to talk about the biggest issues with the team. And let's do this real quick because we've gone real long.
Yes.
I don't want to I don't want people tuning us out after a while. But what are the biggest issues this team faces? I have said these two things. I say we lack power. And also, we are lacking mental toughness at times. And I talked about this on the last podcast, so I won't elaborate too much. But I will say that the lack of power will hopefully be resolved with the addition of Jason Rogers if he can hit us some long balls. Anyways, what do you think?
I think I wouldn't say lack of power. I think the power is there.
Okay.
But we just have to click. That's it.
Okay.
And the mental toughness, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to stop losing to ourselves. That's all. You know, that's a good way to put it. I always talk to you about this, and when we lose to ourselves. And it's just stupid mistakes, stupid things that makes all the difference.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so let's talk about our needs for the future then for this team. What are some of the things that you see, let's say 3 years down the road, that are going to be bigger issues? These are the things that I found. The first one is speed. We're a little bit better than we were last year as far as running goes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I look at our three top base stealers right now, we've got Itoy with 10. He's 36, mm-hmm. or he will be 36 at the end of this month. We got Uemoto with 8, and he just turned 31. And then we've got Toritani with 6, and he just turned 36. So, you know, if you take this down the road 3 years, we've got retired, and old little guy in Uemoto who probably won't be able to steal near as many bases. So I don't know where they're going to get, you know, base stealers from. But, you know, maybe someone like Kai Ueda down on the farm will be able to make his way up. Or maybe somebody else, maybe Egoshi will turn the corner and be able to steal some bases. But I think that's the big issue. That's the biggest one. What do you think?
Yeah, and to me, it's endurance. I think we have to – we cannot afford to lose gas. I mean, that happened last year. It's happening this year. We went a little beyond, a little bit further on. But, I mean, we're – it seemed to me in this bad stretch that we lost solely gas. I think that's what we need. You know, we need to keep the consistency. You know, like we have to, if we're going to play to win games, it can't be like temporary. It has to be the full year. So to me, that's what we need. It's just this. It's not even like that we need another player or something. It's just endurance. We need to keep, you know, like... we need gas. That's all.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'll agree with that. So move to the Middle East, get you some good gas, and get things going, then, team. All right, finally. Yes. What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? We are going to do not predictions for the week to come, but predictions for the rest of the season. So we've got 64 games left, Zorny, and I've laid it out completely. Okay. We got 14 against the Carp. We're 6-5 against them so far. And we play 3 at Kyocera, 4 at Koshien, and 7 at Mazda Zoom Zoom. Then we've got 14 against the Bay Stars. We're 7-4 against them so far. We got 8 at Koshien and 6 in Yokohama. We got 11 left against the Dragons. We're 7-7 against them. And we got 5 left at Koshien, 6 left in Nagoya. Then we got 12 left against the Giants. We're 6-7 against them. And we got 4 at Koshien and 8 at Tokyo Dome. And then finally, we have 13 against the Swallows. We're 7-5 against them so far. And we've got 3 at Kyocera Dome, 3 at Koshien, and 7 at Jingu. So, what do you think is going to happen with this team the rest of the way?
I don't know, man. I try to be positive. I think we're going to stay in second place.
Okay.
Leaning towards third, maybe. Yeah. I really want us to make to the playoffs. Yeah. I don't think if that's going to be possible. I think we're trying to turn things around. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of doing that already. Mm-hmm. So... let's try to go strong onto the playoffs and finish in second or third. I don't see us going to the top.
No.
I don't think this Carp team is going to melt down or something, but I think that's
collapse, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I wanted actually.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And so that's it, you know, second or third. Mostly second, I would say. Mm-hmm. And going strong into the playoffs.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm going to predict an exact record. And when I did this 2 years ago on episode number 1, I predicted exactly right for the second half. So I don't know. I'm not saying I hope I'm right again, but I'm going to say that we're going to go 33-31 the rest of the way, 2 games over .500. I've actually made predictions for each team and our matchups. So here it is. And, you know, I would be very surprised if I'm right, but 5-9 against the Carp. 9-5 against the Bay Stars, 6-5 against the Dragons, 5-7 against the Giants, and 9-4 against the Swallows. That's my predictions. So there you go.
All right.
Okay. Well, it's time for announcements. And the biggest announcement is this. And I don't really know how to say this without actually just saying it directly. This is the last episode of Hanshin Tigers English News Podcast. This is the second anniversary. This is the 70th episode. And I've just come to the point in my life, ladies and gentlemen, where I can't dedicate the time to doing the podcast anymore. You know, I've got a young family. I've got a couple of boys that really need their daddy's attention a lot more, which means paying less attention to the games, which means not being able to talk about the finer points about what determined the game's, you know, win or loss or the outcome, all sorts of things. So I just feel like I have to put the podcast aside. And, you know, realistically, with the boys growing up, things aren't going to get any less busy anytime soon. And so this might be the very, very last one. If I do manage to find time, I may throw in an episode or two here and there, but I wouldn't count on it. So I do want to say this. I want to thank everybody that has listened to the podcast first and foremost, because it, you know, without listeners, there is no podcast. And so I really appreciate all of you all. I know I've gotten a lot of good comments or good feedback over the years. And I appreciate all the comments, you know, people entering contests, all that kind of stuff. I want to go through just some acknowledgments of people that have helped me out, people that have been on the podcast. So first, we started with co-host Mike Pombiki, who also then changed his name to Wizzo, and he was the co-host for much of season one. I also had Michael E. come in for one episode, and then I had James Brown, I Feel Good, filling in for another episode. And then I also had a couple of guests in that first season. We had guest Gene Backey. We also had guest Peter Gibson, who's like a super fan down in Australia. And I also did a couple of vodcasts. One of them was with Scott McCollum. Wonderful guy. So I really appreciate that. Then in season two, I co-hosted with Zorny a couple of times. I had a bunch of guests on for some previews with the Carp, Swallows, Dragons. I had Patrick Newman, NPB Tracker. He came in and helped out with some guest appearances. And then I had Joe. You remember good old Joe? Hey, guys, it's Joe. Anyways, he came in and he filled in as the co-host for all of season two, which was the longest season, the 2016 season. He was a faithful and great co-host for that time. I had Tom Zilla filling in once. I had guest Stephen Green on. I had guest Mark Rakasan, who's a Baystars fan. I had Christian and Patrick come in for interleague help. I had Jimbo come in and help out a little bit. We had Matt Haig on the show. We had Aki Bubek, who is an upcoming singer-songwriter. And then we had Matt Merton at the end of the 2016 season, and also to start the 2017 season, we had Matt Merton on as well. And then also I had Eric Lord. He came in and he co-hosted for one episode as well this past season. So all these guys, and then Christian helped again with the interleague portion. So all these guys, thank you so much. We did some vodcasts as well. Jimbo and Aaron were on one. Zorny, you were on one last year. Scott McCollum was on another one this past year. So all of these people that came in and just were part of the show, part of enjoying things. And of course, I have to thank my little son, Joshua, who filled in with a couple of sound clips. You know, he was just a nut for the cheer songs. And so I threw some of those in. But, you know, of course, I also have to thank my wonderful wife for being understanding, giving me the time to watch so much Tigers, to do this podcast, all that kind of stuff. She put up with a lot. And just so you know, the website is not going down. We're still going to keep doing the website. It's just the podcast is being put on pause. Other people I want to thank, I was able to be a guest on several other podcasts. One of them was Tigers Cast, which is a Japanese podcast about the Hanshin Tigers. Highly recommend it. Tigers Cast の皆さん、本当に誘ってくださりありがとうございました。もう本当に楽しくて、またあの機会がありましたらぜひお願いいたします。Also, I was a guest on the Inside Sport Japan They have a YouTube channel. And that was just really fun to be a part of. And I was a guest on the Just Japan podcast as well. And that was also a lot of fun. Again, the Just Japan podcast, I highly recommend. If you're interested in Japan, go check that out. And Inside Sport Japan, go find them on YouTube or on Facebook or on Twitter as well. Good follows, all of them. Theme songs. Recently, we've been using a theme song by Mamiya, a.k.a. Shin, featuring Tim, my buddy Tim. And Tim was also the contributor for another theme song. We had Aki Bubek let us use her song for the ending for most of last season. And then also we had the Sim Redman Band allow us to use their song, Hanshin Tigers, which you're going to be hearing in just a little bit here. Jimbo contributed with all the jingles that you hear in between corners, all of the fun stuff like recap and all that kind of stuff. So thank you, Jimbo. Love it. Those are classic.
They're so good. Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. And Zorni, thank you. You contributed with graphics, not just for the podcast, but for the whole website, for the Facebook, for everything. So appreciate all that you've done as well, Zorni.
My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Well, just so you know, though, you know, you're still able to reach me anytime at thehanshintigers@gmail.com. So if you're going to be going to games, if you want to meet up with me or whatever, let me know. You know, I still want to make following the Tigers a priority. I still want to be able to connect fans and give you guys the information you need. So just so you know, my schedule as far as going to games, July the 27th, I'll be at Koshien. September 7th, I'll be in Hiroshima against the Tigers. September 12th, at Koshien against the Giants. And then September 25th, against the Bay Stars as well. So there you have it. The end of an era. The end of the H10 podcast, at least for now. But seriously, if you want to share, you know, your feedback on the show, if you want to help me out a little bit, or if you want to maybe try and help me to revive it, you know, I'm open. I'm open to discussion. So hit me up. Thank you all, though, so much for your time, your passion for the Tigers. You know, you can find the archives of this podcast anytime at the website www.thehanshintigers.com. We're keeping that going. We're still going to be writing the recaps. We're still going to be doing translations, book reviews, all sorts of stuff. So keep following us there. You know, bookmark the website or subscribe to the website, whatever you need to do to get that news. The other way, of course, is to follow us on Facebook, Hanshin Tigers English News. You'll find us there. I'm constantly posting new stuff up there. But probably the biggest way for you to follow T-Ray is Twitter, at the Hanshin Tiger. I'm always posting stuff there, in between games, just whenever the schedule frees up to post up little bits of stuff. And Zorni, tell the people where they can find you on Twitter as well.
You can find me on the Curse of the Z.
Curse of
the Z. I'm always there.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm always there. I'm always doing my thing there. So if you want to contact me, just send a text, send a message.
There you go. Follow Zorni on Twitter as well. He's a worthwhile follow for sure. So you know, everybody, until we meet again, keep cheering for these Hanshin Tigers until there's an international fan club in your city as well. Have a great second half of the season, everyone. Yeah.